This is the Preacher Guys podcast with me, Aaron Goins.
And Charlie Patterson.
Charlie Patterson III.
That's right.
Coming to you from Family Worship Center in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. If you want to find us, we're at 1217
Highway 53.
Highway 53 in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And we have services at 10 a.m. on Sunday. And we have Wednesday night Bible study with dinner at 6 p.m. and the study starting at 7 p.m. We're coming to you to bring you the Word of God in our weekly discussion.
We are back with another episode of the Preacher Guys podcast, episode number 10. And today, or tonight rather, I do not have Aaron with me. I have my wife, Jessica.
Do we have a crowd?
Yes, here we go.
There we go.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, thank you. So we've got the Preacher Guy and Gal tonight instead of the Preacher Guys.
Yes. Preacher guy with his preacher wife. Yeah. Yes. So, and before too long, Aaron wants to have Mallory come on here and them two do an episode together. So
that'd be cool.
Yep. And then hopefully when we upgrade, we can get all four of us at the same time. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, honey.
Yeah.
You said you had the topic for tonight. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, I've got a question for you.
Oh, no.
Kind of open up this can of worms.
Okay.
Okay. So, would you say that there is a biblical brokenness?
Biblical brokenness?
Yeah.
Title of the episode now, Biblical Brokenness.
Yeah. Or Gracefully Broken.
Yeah, I guess so. Where are you going with that, I guess? You tell me.
Well, what would you say that that is? If you described it in your own words, what that would look like, maybe?
I think the obvious thing I think of is like the wine press, the oil press, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane being the primary example.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So I've been working on a message, as you know, honey.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that brokenness is actually tied to revival?
Do tell.
I will. So, let me find the deal here. So, Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation and the Passion. And it says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." And in the Passion Translation, it says, "For the source of your pleasure is not in my performance or the sacrifices I might offer to you. The fountain of your pleasure is found in the sacrifice of my shattered heart before you. You will not despise my tenderness as I bow down humbly at your feet." So we see that this kind of brokenness that we're talking about is actually something to be pursued and not desire or not avoided. Because this is what gets God's attention. He's looking for humility. He's looking for our brokenness. He's looking for our neediness. Was it Laodiceans in Revelation? They thought that they had no need of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, "But you're naked and you're blind and you don't even know it." So it's because they're prideful and they're full of themselves. They're full of their self-sufficiencies. And so whenever we're brought to a place of brokenness in this context, we're showing the Lord, or he sees as a result, that we do need him. And we come to the awareness that we need him. Mm-hmm. We don't have it all together. We can't, you know, supply every need that we would have. We can't sustain ourselves the way that we like to think that we can. Yeah, because in that, I mean, if we're constantly depending on just ourselves, then we have no need for him. We have no need for the Lord. And so when we come to this place of brokenness where he is all that we desire or need, because nothing else will suffice, nothing else. And I've, you know this, I've been walking through this kind of journey for the last year now.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been several times that, the whole time, really, in the last year, where there weren't many answers, and the only thing that I had was the Lord. He was my lifeline, and literally, like, I thought I would die if I didn't have him, and he got me through this last year when nothing else would. There was no medication, there was no words, there was nothing besides just being in his presence alone. And I'm sure that you remember those times where I'd just sit in the prayer room for hours and just be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or out on the swing, just being with the Lord, because that was the only thing that would calm the chaos that was going on inside of me. And so in that place, I can honestly say that he met me there. I wasn't removed from the place of being broken. I wasn't removed from the situation, unfortunately. It wasn't taken from me, but he still met me in those places because he saw my neediness as I cried out to him. I had to go to him and let him know, like, hey, I need you. Because you have an option. When you're faced with these kinds of seasons of brokenness or pruning or refining or sifting, whatever, you know, insert the term there. You can choose to pull away, and there were times where I have pulled away because I was so I don't know, it almost brings you, it can bring you to a place of despondency, where you experience so much disappointment or so much pain that you kind of I don't know, to cope, you become despondent. Mm-hmm. You kind of just numb out to be able to survive. You're just kind of you're coasting in survival mode. And there were moments where that was the case for me. But then there's the other option that we have. And instead of pulling away, we can choose to lean in further to him. And if you recall, a lady that we both know, Virginia Buffington,
mm-hmm.
she had texted me one morning whenever I was in prayer. And going through one of it was the peak of all of this that I've been walking through. And she had no idea the timing. I mean, and the thing that she said, too, she had no idea how much it meant to me. But she said, if I would press into the pressure, I would break forth into the kingdom. And that meant everything to me because I wanted to stay withdrawn. Like, I wanted to withdraw. It, because the pain hurts so bad to press into. But it gave me that extra nudge to keep going because it was right before Andrew and them came, and it was this past mm-hmm. spring. And I really was terrified of even trying to put this thing on and this event that we had, and because my health and my blood pressure and everything was just so awful. But that gave me the encouragement and the motivation to, okay, I'm just going to press into what I know God has said. I'm going to lean in closer to him, even though I feel like I'm literally going to die. My only option at this point is to press into the Lord. And she's right. As you press into the kingdom, or as you press into the Lord, you break forth into the kingdom. And that is the purpose of biblical brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're breaking out of all that was, you're breaking out of your old shell, like the butterfly and the cocoon. You're breaking out of all of the junk, coming out of the grave clothes, and you're pressing into, or breaking forth into, new life, a new creation, the kingdom of heaven that's in you. But a lot of times you don't know what's in you until you're broken.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's a big opening.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just remembering a C.S. Lewis book called The Problem of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's a little more apologetic, I guess, you know, that's kind of how he was. But mm-hmm. To summarize the book, I think it'd be fair to say that what he said throughout the book was the reason we feel pain is because God has given that to us to allow us to feel pain. And so then, like, the question comes up, well, does that make him not good? Of course, the answer is no. The answer is we need to be able to feel pain. Because if we don't feel pain, then we don't know that we need a healer, a rescuer, a deliverer, all those things. You know, because whether they're physical, spiritual, or mental, emotional pain, all those types of pains require, you know, healing or deliverance or whatever. And without the pain, brokenness without pain, you don't know that you're hurting.
Yeah.
It's like another book called The Giver. It's not really a Christian book, but there's this town of people. It's everything's gray and colorless, and nobody feels anything except one person that they call the Giver. Mm-hmm. And he, like, retains all memories of everything, color and just everything. He can see in color. Everyone else sees gray. And then this one boy starts to see the color red. And so that was like a foreshadowing. He was going to become the next Giver or whatever he was called. And one of the things he had never experienced in his life or anyone in that town was a broken leg. That was a memory that guy had to pass down to him. And so he didn't actually break his leg, but he felt the pain of a broken leg. And so, yeah, just what you're talking about is making me remember all this stuff. We have to have pain. It's just part of it.
Yeah. And that actually kind of reminds me of one of the scriptures that I have in this little message that I've been working on. So whoever listens to this, you're getting
preview.
A preview. Thank you. A preview of a message that I'm going to be speaking coming up in a few weeks. But anywho, one of the scriptures that I have in my little notes here is in 1 Peter, I think. Try not to.
Is that the after you suffered a little while?
Scripture? Well, that is one. That is one that I have in here, actually. It wasn't Peter. It was Philippians. And it says, it's Philippians 3, 10, and 11. This is in the New Living Translation. And it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. Kind of like the giver. Mm-hmm. He shared in the sufferings of everyone else around him because nobody else had their memories, but he did. I mean, they had experienced it at one time, but they didn't any longer. Mm-hmm. So he was sharing in their sufferings because he was the only one who could at that point feel or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So it's saying that as we suffer with Christ, we also are raised to life again with him. So we're sharing it's the fellowship of suffering. It's the cup of we're drinking the cup of suffering with Christ. We're sharing in that fellowship with him. But we're also coming into new life because of that too. Because as we die, we live in Christ.
Right.
Sharing the sufferings of others and also sharing the sufferings of Christ.
Yeah, and the one from Peter, 1 Peter 5:10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Mm. So, I mean, that pretty much sums up the purpose of the brokenness and the pain.
Yeah.
It's so that through Christ, he will restore us, confirm us, strengthen us, and establish us.
Yes, and this is where the revive comes in. This is how brokenness is tied to revival. So Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So the scripture that you just read, 1 Peter, you're in a place of suffering. So after you've suffered a little while, then he restores. And because it's in that place of suffering that we show our need for him, like Isaiah 57:15 was just saying, it's those who are humble and contrite of heart that I will revive. I'll revive their lives. I'll revive their hearts. And like Peter was saying, I'll strengthen you. I'll support you. I will restore you. I will establish you. My translation, New Living Translation says, I will place you on a firm foundation. So he also resets our foundations.
Mm-hmm.
So brokenness is a painful gift. So even though it's, like for me, this has been one of, and I've been through things in my life, you know, and I didn't care to broadcast them. I really talk much about them, but this last year has been such a painful year, and it's been so, impactful. I get like it's touched many areas of my entire being, mm-hmm. That I can't help but share about it. And but I gotta be honest too, you know, it's not been fun at all, as you well know, because you live with me. But at the same time, there have been things that I've seen that the Lord has highlighted. There's places of repentance that he's brought me to. There have been people who were removed from my life that otherwise would not have been, who needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were brought into my life that needed to be, who otherwise wouldn't have been. He's establishing my foundation, and he's been doing it through this painful season of my life. But he's also shown me throughout this time, like he's spoken to me in amazing ways, even though he's felt so far. I love that you, in your pruning message, you brought up the fact that you feel the furthest away from the Father in a pruning season, but the gardener is never closer to the bush or plant or whatever.
The vine,
thank you. Mm-hmm. I cannot get that. He's never been closer because you've got to get up close to the vine in order to snip away at things. You've mm-hmm. got to be able to see what you're wanting to keep and what you're wanting to get rid of, and you've got to come up really close. And that's exactly what he's done in this time with me, is he has felt the furthest away. But what's crazy is, like, he's given me the coolest dreams, even like the Fort Northcutt dream. Given, you know, he highlighted that address, it's a street name, Fort Northcutt. And that means nothing to me, and it probably means nothing to anybody who would listen to this. But when I woke up, I felt to look up what it meant, because I was on the street in the dream, and I was being pursued by a gunman. But I was in this house hiding on a street called Fort Northcutt. And when I called the police, I gave the address. And when I woke up, I felt to look in my spirit to look up what Fort Northcutt meant. And it means fortified shelter. And he had given me, before all of this really started happening in the beginning of the year, the peak of things started happening, I should say. He gave me Psalm 91,
mm-hmm.
where he's my shelter, you know. So he's done really cool things like that this whole time to let me know that I'm really trying not to cry right now because I can't talk if I cry. To let me know that he's so near. And it's really cool, like, when Callie came over that day, she came into the prayer room where I'd spent hours, and the first thing she felt was like, she's like, oh my goodness, the presence of God is so strong here. Like, you can tell that you've spent so much time here. I couldn't feel that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. I was just in there trying to survive.
Right.
But other people could. And she wasn't the only one. Like, there were different people who would walk back there and like, oh my gosh. And then at work, like, a fella who was having, like, he's actually, he was pretty well, troubled. We'll just put it that way. He was troubled and kind of scary. And he walks into my office and he goes to sit down and he's just talking and talking and talking. And he's like, he stopped and he said, I wanted to shoot people before I came in here. He said, but I feel peace now. I feel a lot better. I didn't do anything, but I did. I knew that he was coming because I had a coworker who called me and was like, hey, I want to warn you about this guy. He's coming. He's talking kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit. What, like, this is you take over because I can't do this in my flesh. And so I was listening to worship music in my little AirPod deal. And Holy Spirit told me to play it softly out loud so you could hear it in the room. You mm-hmm. can't really understand what the words were or anything because it would have been too loud for my job. But just enough to where it was filling the atmosphere. And anyway, so that's what I did. Prayed. I was like, all right, Lord. And so he felt that peace, even though I struggle at times to feel that peace that I carry,
mm-hmm.
that we carry as children of God, other people do. Other people do feel that peace. They feel the presence of God. They feel those things that the Lord's given us even when we don't. So even though he feels far away, he's so close. And even though we don't feel it, other people can.
Mm-hmm.
And what we walk through isn't just for us, it's for others. Because like I said earlier, you don't know what's inside of you until you're broken. Kind of like the woman with the alabaster box. It wasn't until she broke open the vessel
mm-hmm.
that the fragrance was able to be smelled by those around her. And it's the same with us. You don't know what we're carrying in these earthen vessels, but there are treasures in these earthen vessels that he's deposited in us that won't be discovered until we're brought to a place of being broken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really an invitation to come closer to him.
Right. Well, that's like the potter and the mm-hmm. potter's wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He's touching it the whole time. But he's also the one smashing it.
Smashing it, yeah.
He's like, oh, I made something pretty. Smash. Nope, gotta do it again.
Yes.
Over and over. No, you reminded me that I had said that on one of the Wednesday nights, that what we go through is actually for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking about Joseph, and my brain started clicking, you know, scriptures were coming together. When Jesus prayed for Peter,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Simon, Simon, you got that in there? Mm-hmm. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but mm-hmm. I have prayed for you so that when you return,
yep.
you strengthen your brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to Joseph, and that's even Jesus going through the wilderness while he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Because when he came out of that, he came out of there strengthening spiritually and physically all those who would, you know, come to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always, like you said, it is for you, but so that you can help other people.
For his glory.
Yeah.
Ultimately for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
For other people, but it's for his glory. Yeah. I actually have both that and the potter's wheel on mm-hmm. here in my notes. But in those seasons too, as hard as they are, there is much grace.
Mm-hmm.
There's another scripture, and I wish I would have put it in here actually now, but I think it's in Corinthians, and it says that it's talking about when we suffer. Actually, let me just look it up so I don't misquote. 2 Corinthians 1:5, and it says, and just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own sufferings, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. So as we lean into him and we stay in fellowship, in communion with Jesus, through times of suffering, because we don't just share in his joy, we also share in his sufferings, like we're talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in those times where we have so much grace and comfort added to us. Because he knows that it's in our weakness that he's made strong. And he shows us that his grace is sufficient. But it's only in those places that we can actually know that.
Right.
Because if we're operating in our own strength, and we all do it, I'm the world's worst. We get in our own understanding, our own, you know, our own abilities, our own strength, and we're like, I got this. Especially if you're used to doing and going, which that's been me. So I'm not throwing anybody under the bus myself.
Mm-hmm.
But he will quickly show you that you need his grace, and you can't do things on your own. And when he shows you that through brokenness, seasons of brokenness or sifting or suffering, he shows you how sufficient his grace truly is. And he shows you what he can accomplish, how much more he can accomplish through you when you're weakest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the point where the kingdom can burst forth or break forth from you. It's like they're, again, the vessel. The kingdom is inside of you. It's those treasures inside these earthen vessels. And once it's broken out, then the kingdom comes pouring out.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when his grace is coming to the forefront. That's when his strength and his abilities are coming to the forefront. And ours are, they're gone. They're out the window at that point.
Right.
Because we're leaning completely on him because we have nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, really the... It comes down to when you find yourself in a season like this, when you're being broken, the best thing that you can do is surrender. Submit to his hands, even though they crush you, like the potter crushes the clay and remolds. The best thing that you can do is still submit, because his hands can be trusted. His hands are not molding us and crushing us to completely destroy.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found is, I want to share this real quick. I know we're probably getting close to the end of our time, but.
What are you talking about? We're in our own home right now. We have no time limit.
Well, I mean, for the show.
We're only at 28 minutes.
Okay, cool. I just don't want people to get bored and tune out. But the word, the root word for broken that I found is really cool. It's pronounced shabar, and it, I think I say that right anyway, and it means to break,
mm-hmm.
to crush, and to bring to birth. So, again, you don't know what you're carrying. You don't know what's inside of you until he crushes or breaks you, because that brings to birth what is inside of you,
mm-hmm.
which is his kingdom. Hopefully, you know,
right.
The things that have been hiding under all of your, you know, self-sufficiencies, once those are out of the way and you're out of the way,
mm-hmm.
his kingdom can come out. So, yeah. You got anything else?
Well, I was thinking about the vine again and that message I had preached, and how I didn't say this, but I'm thinking about it right now. The time of fruitfulness is the smallest window of time of the whole life of the vine. Fruitfulness only happens like over the course of a month or two out of 12 months out of the year.
Wow.
So then the time of dormancy lasts all winter long, so 3 months, maybe 4 months. And then so you're at 6 months there, then you got 6 months of growing.
So there's a lot of preparation time.
Yeah. So
yeah.
You're planted, you grow, you bear fruit, and any good vine dresser will be like, okay, these ones are doing good. Snip.
Yeah.
After we get the fruit from them, snip them off.
Mm-hmm.
That way they will produce more fruit the next time around. So mm-hmm. everything gets cut back, and then everything goes dormant after being cut back. It's like it just dies pretty much.
Right.
And then when spring comes around again, like March, April, then it starts coming back to life. It's never really dead, but there's no mm-hmm. growth happening until the spring comes, and then it's growing throughout the whole summer, and then September comes around, and then the harvest is there again. Mm. So the window for fruit is very, very small. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why you have to make the most of the time everywhere else, mm-hmm. because that window is so small.
Yeah.
And the largest amount of time is where you're growing. So really the pruning season is not that long. It's longer than the fruiting season, but it's shorter than the growing season.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
But I love Romans 8:18. It says, these present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory to be revealed in us.
Mm-hmm.
So those pruning seasons, the suffering seasons, they're painful, but they produce glory. They produce, they reveal the glory that's in us,
mm-hmm.
Because it's His glory, but it reveals the glory that's there.
Right.
Without taking off what's dead, you never know that the glory's there. You never know the beauty and the life that is hiding behind that. But you got to get rid of the dead. Mm-hmm. And so that's what He does.
Yeah. Huh. Looks at us and finds everything that is not producing fruit. I mean, that's what Jesus said in Matthew, that He would cast off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And He does that individually as well. Things in our lives that are not producing fruit, not producing life, He gets rid of it. But then also the things that are producing, He doesn't get rid of it, but He cuts it back to make it more fruitful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a fun process.
No, it's not. But again, we want revival.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the way to revival. This is
You can't revive unless you're dead.
Exactly. So He's bringing to life those things that were dead,
mm-hmm.
or taking off the dead so that the living or the life that's in us can come to the forefront. I want to read something real quick. The definition, I looked up what just because I like doing stuff like this. I Googled the definition of revival as it pertains to the church. And there were a few. Well, our buddy Caleb Hodgkiss.
Oh yeah.
He posted one, and that's actually what got me on this rabbit trail. So I went ahead and wrote his down, but then I looked up others as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just read them all. Revival is defined as the awakening or quickening of God's people to their true nature and purpose. I love that, because that's exactly what we're talking about. Like coming into the fullness of God, or into the fullness of what He's called us to be, and coming into the image of Christ. We're being conformed to His image in these seasons more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our true nature, and that's our original purpose from the Father. And so in brokenness, times of brokenness, as we've been talking, or pruning or whatever, He's getting those things away that shouldn't be, and reviving what is, what should be. So revival is also a time of spiritual awakening, a renewed faith that can affect a congregation, society, or region. I think that's important to note too, because again, it goes back to what we said, it's for others, not just for us, it's for others.
Right.
Revival is marked by a conviction of sin, a desire for more of Christ, boldness in witness, purity of life, and joyful worship. So revival is marked by conviction of sin and a desire for more of Christ. I feel like we can get really, really complacent and get really used to coasting through life. And we no longer lack conviction of sin, or we make excuses or whatever, fill in the blank. And our desire for more of Christ, we kind of just get comfortable in a place like, I've got enough of Him for now, because we are used to our jobs. We're used to staying busy. We're used to going to church, fellowship, you know, doing the things, but then desiring true communion and thirsting and hungering after Christ alone, we actually kind of fall off of that. a bit. So revival, seasons of brokenness, bring us to a place where that is revived in us, where we start to seek after him more. Revival is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit brought about by the intercession of Christ. So it's a result of his intercessions over us. That blows my mind in itself. Like, revival, our revival, whenever we're revived, it is as a direct result of the intercessions of Jesus Christ. Him praying for us, him interceding for us, which I think is so beautiful. And that's resulting, that results in a new degree of life in the churches and a widespread movement. Lastly, it is the church turning, changing direction, and following God wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I want to share this quote by A.W. Tozer real quick, and then I'll quit talking because I know that I get going. It says, before there can be fullness, which is the revival, being full of him, before there can be fullness, there must be emptiness. Before God can fill us with himself, we must first be emptied of ourselves. So I'll just add this little tidbit. May we all desire to be gracefully broken.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to sing and play us a song before we cut for the night?
If you want me to, I will.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Okay. I'll give you a minute to get set up there.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to turn my mic off so we don't have any interference, and I'll let you go.
Here I am, God.
broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free. Your power at work in me. I'm broken gracefully. I'm strong when I am weak. I will be free.
Thank you, honey.
Welcome. Don't be too harsh, guys. That was the first time I've ever done that song.
Yes, and we've never done instruments with our podcast setup. So that was a first.
That was a first.
And it was lovely.
Thank you, honey.
Yes. So I'll pray us out real quick. So, Father, just thank you for this night, Lord. Got to do my first podcast episode with my wife. Thankful for that. I love you and I love her. And Lord, just help us to embrace the brokenness, because you are never closer than when you are pruning us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you guys want to continue to support us and our podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and we also have an email, thepreacherguys@gmail.com. The YouTube handle is @thepreacherguysfwc. Send us a prayer request, subjects for our discussions, just anything if you just want to contact us. Also, if you don't know, I've written two books, The Gardens of God and The Spirit of Fire. Give those a look at Amazon.com, searching by the titles, or my name, Charles Patterson III.